Now, I have to kind of go right into our text this morning without hesitation. Last Sunday's morning message, I felt like I had been a little hard on everybody, that I would try to take away all excuses for not attending church. And you know what? I'm not sorry about that. I wanted to apologize, but that's my apology. No, our church attendance should not be optional. As believers, it should be, how should I say, not a must, but it should be, I will. I will be there. I will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will, Joshua said. I will attend. Now, are there reasons sometimes that we cannot attend? Of course. If we're out of the country, if we're traveling, or if we are sick, of course there are reasons why we can't. But we should stop making excuses. Excuses are different than reasons, so let's remember that. In this series, I would like to explain that each Sunday I'm speaking on one aspect of the topic of commitment that we want to keep, the commitments, I will. We began with, I will have the right attitude. Remember the being a grumpy church member versus a joyful church member? You know, the JCM and the GCM? Let's not forget that. The right attitude. Last time it was about worshiping God together with others. These are and always remain, will always remain foundational to our faith. You cannot maintain a healthy faith in Jesus Christ without these ingredients. The great attitude, I will have a good attitude towards God and God's church. I will attend and worship God together with others. And remember, worship God. We don't seek an experience in worship itself. We seek to experience God in the worship service. And that's foundational. See, without the proper godly and decent attitude, we will never get ahead where God wants us to be. Without attending corporate worship services as a church, we will never be the church. This is where it begins. This is where our training ground is. This is where we listen, because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the preaching of the Word of God. And unless we listen to messages, and I recommend to live preaching messages, not just on YouTube or other things. Sure, they can help sometimes, but nobody knows that you're listening. At least here, we know that you're here to listen. And the Bible says to come to church to listen to the message of God, because God longs to reveal truth to us by being in his presence together with others and listening to the public proclamation of the gospel and the truth of his word. So there is simply no other way we can fulfill the great commission and the great commandment unless we do these foundational things. I want to emphasize this with scriptures I left out last time about the importance of coming to church with the right attitude. Psalm 122, verse 1 and 2. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Why was he glad? He didn't say, someone said to the husband, you know that today we're going to church. Oh, not again. He didn't say that. We were there just last week. Can't we skip a week? No, he said, I was glad to hear it. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. How wonderful. Psalm 123, verse 2 and 4. Listen carefully to this. This is not individually said. This is said as a corporate as a church body. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud. What is he saying here? He said, Lord, have mercy on us as an assembly, as a corporate worship body. Lord, have mercy on us because we are filled, our souls are filled with distractions. Our souls are filled with contempt of the cares of this life. We need a break, Lord. Have mercy on us and give us a break from all these cares of the everyday grind in life. That's how I see it. It's a simple interpretation. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Let us consider one another. Listen carefully. Let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. Verse 25, it says, Hebrews 10, 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day when Jesus comes. And don't you want to be on fire for the Lord and filled with the Holy Spirit when Jesus comes? I want to. I want to be ready. I want to be watchful when he comes. I want to be totally ready, totally with it when he comes, to not miss a single thing. Hebrews 13, verse 15 and 16. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and do share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Those are all scriptures concerning corporate worship. Let us not forget to continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, who so much deserves it. Today I want to take us to the other equally important part of our commitment, I will. And after today you might think, oh my goodness, the pastor is making it very, he has so many demands on me. I don't know if I can do that. It's not me making any demands. God wants us to serve him. God wants us to experience him like never before. That's why. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, we read this. This was the early church, the new believers. They worshiped together in the temple each day, and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. They met in their homes. They even had the Lord's Supper in the homes. Have you ever really believed that, that that was true? That they actually did that? They did. They gathered for worship first. They sacrificed their praise to God, the sacrifice of their lips. They had the preaching, the apostles preached, they prayed. And then they devoted themselves to home groups. They did not leave the temple, the worship services, one escaping that direction, another in that direction, and quickly disappear. Quickly get out of here, get out of here. No, they assembled in houses. Because they did not have a Lone Ranger mentality. And this deepened their unity in Christ and their love for each other. Because if you really want to have a successful coal fire that produces the heat that you desire, guess what you have to do? I mean, I know that much from barbecuing, that if you separate the coals, it doesn't help much if you have one coal here and one coal here. Sure, they're burning, but they're not touching each other. Coals that really bring the heat have to be together. One coal will die on its own. The fire will cease. Jesus said this: by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have what? If you have love one to another. And how do we express that love to one another? Small groups, group members, it's very important to have them, because we will be much more likely to be involved in ministries if we join a small group. We are called to be partakers in the ministries of the church and the ministries of God's kingdom. Once you are a believer, that is our responsibility. We have the responsibility to the Great Commission and to the Great Commandment. We cannot just excuse ourselves and say, well, no, I have nothing to do with that. If you are a believer, you have everything to do with that. Research has been conducted and shows that church members who become active in small groups were 5 times more likely to become partakers in ministry within and outside the church. And I understand that the older generation, especially, that suffer from health issues, and so that you cannot always attend. And that's where I say those are real reasons and not excuses. But this is where care groups come in. That we care for one another. That we care for all of God's children that we know that are in our circle of believers that we are familiar with. That we minister to the needs of those that are incapacitated or can no longer come to church services. That's very important. And it's easy to say, well, that's what the pastor gets paid for. He needs to visit all those that cannot come to church. Where in the Bible is that again? If you find a scripture verse, then let me know. I'd like to see that. But we are supposed to be part of care groups. Why are care groups and small groups so powerful in a church? And I know we haven't done this very much in the past. We thought coming to worship service, be bench warmers, and make sure that nobody sits in my seat on Sunday morning, and you come early and make sure that you have your seat, and that nobody can move you from your premise. And that's kind of what we're used to, right? No, we're supposed to become active. And small groups are extremely important for relationship factors. Now, sure, there's a negative side too. If you have a small group, and this is so human, if we're not watchful, we can have a gossip group that is really good at just tearing down everything else and everybody else and know better everything better than everybody else. That is in the flesh. That's not even Christian. I'm talking about real believers building real relationships with one another. Sometimes decades can go by and we still remember instances and events that put a smile on our faces when we remember a Sunday school class or a small group or a prayer meeting, a prayer circle that we attended. That something happened there, something was built there that never leaves us, a friendship, an impression, something was said in a small group. Like yesterday, we had the men's prayer breakfast. We're about a dozen men, and we all pray. And we take our time to pray. And this is so important. We pray for one another. We pray for those needs that are before us. And it's encouraging. And then we have fellowship. And the fellowship is really, really sweet. And I think that there's much to say about building relationships with others in a small group. If you are not in a small group, I mean, if you're not in Sunday school, if you never attend a prayer meeting, I'd like to tell you this. If you only come Sunday morning at the 11 o'clock service only once a week, it will not be enough for your faith. I can guarantee you that. If you're not praying together with other believers, something is missing in your life. And I have to give you this warning, because at your best you can be a marginal church member, but it's very likely that over the years you will drop out. You will quit church altogether. And this is very important that we take this to heart, because we cannot be, when you are saved, when you are redeemed, Christ has invested in you so much and he invests grace in you. He wants to use you. He wants to form you. He wants to grow you. And that's where the church comes in. That's where small groups come in. But if you become a lazy believer, a sluggard kind of Christian, you will never grow spiritually. You will become so disillusioned. You become unhappy. You become a GCM, a grumpy church member. And that's the reason why many are grumpy, because they never have this connection with a small group where they can build relationship and share mano a mano, or the other side too, but to share personally the needs that you have, the desires you have, and maybe the disappointments you have. And I know there's people that have closed themselves up so much, they feel very uncomfortable in a small group. But why is that? Why would I feel uncomfortable in a small group? I don't have to share everything that's in my heart. I don't have to tell them every little thought that I think. But I can have fellowship. I can be concerned with the needs and the general needs. They can minister to me. I remember years ago I was in Texas, and they invited local pastors to come to a retreat. And it was a one-night stay in a retreat center somewhere. And it was fully paid for. Food, everything was paid for. See, sometimes we pastors only go if it's paid for. But anyway, beside the point, we had a group of pastors there, and we prayed for each other. And it was so profound that one of the pastors said, "You know what? I feel like I had a spiritual bath." Have you ever felt like that, to have a spiritual bath, to have all these toxins of thoughts and distractions and the frustrations and all of that finally gone, and just be at peace and feel this freedom and feel this cleanness that you need? But you get that in a small group when they pray for you. You know what we did, actually? We actually laid hands on each other and prayed for each other. Nobody spoke in tongues or anything. Nobody was thrown off or anything. I wouldn't feel comfortable with that. But we prayed for each other, and it was profound. We built relationships. If you're not in a small group, you miss out. If you think that a Lone Ranger Christianity is acceptable to God, begin reading the New Testament, how much emphasis is given on building relationship with fellow believers. Because we need each other. We need each other's love. We need each other's talents and gifts. You know, the gifts of the Spirit, they complement each other. They're not one gift here and working on an island of themselves. No, It's all working together because all the gifts of the Spirit are supposed to be in the church, and they're supposed to all work together to build up the body of Christ. Because if the body of Christ is strong, guess what? The message of the gospel can go forth with power and strength. And this gospel light is to go to many, many hearts and souls that are not saved yet. So if you're not involved in a small group in our church, I encourage you to get connected. We have week groups during the week. We have youth meeting Friday night. We have Sunday school Sunday morning. And I strongly, strongly today advise you, join one of those groups. If you say, well, I can come Sunday morning to Sunday school and to the church service, that is, Sunday school is a small group. This is why Sunday school cannot be overemphasized. There's also the ministry factor. When we are together in a small group, we minister together. We minister to each other, but we minister also together. Praying for each other and those that we know need the Lord. Making calls to friends and co-workers because we are encouraged to do so by our group. Especially if you have a small group that you attend and you share, I have a co-worker that is very difficult and it's very difficult to get along with him. Then the group prays with you and for you that you will have the strength and the power to witness Christ to that person. You know, and when you are encouraged Monday morning, you go to work. Yeah, my group is fully behind me. They're praying for me. And I know I have this confidence in the Lord. I'm not alone in this. And I can do what Christ has told me to do. I can say what he told me to say. So if you're not involved in a group and you don't fit in anywhere, then let us know. We'll start a new group for you. So, but we will make sure that you can be in a group. Every adult today needs to act as a church within the church. We say we are the church. We are the body. One body of Christ. But every member is part of that body. We are the church within the church, Christ in us within the church, and Christ in the church. You cannot separate the two. When someone needs surgery, when someone has an accident, the small group is there. And they care for their member. If someone from your small group is sick, don't you want to call them and don't you want to make sure that they know you care and you pray for them? Of course, because you love them. We shouldn't wait until something has been organized by the church or the pastor to do these simple things. We should let the Holy Spirit lead. And this is what I like about the Church of God. We believe that the Holy Spirit leads us to do the things that he calls us to do. If someone loses a job and he or she is in your group and they're praying of getting a new job or maybe changing careers and your group prays with them, guess what? They feel encouraged. They don't get all down and depressed and hopeless. They know there is hope. They know that God, he can do anything because verbally the group has supported you and has told you, don't give up, we're with you, we're praying, and if I hear of anything, I will let you know and I will put a word in here or put a word in there. We care for each other, church. That is God's call to us. There's a teaching factor when we are in a small group. And here, this is so important because when I preach on Sunday morning, and sometimes I feel sorry for you, you have to sit there and listen. You can't say a word back because I give you the whole load. But in the small group, you get to ask questions. Because, and what I find curious is that many Christians don't ask enough questions. When you go for counseling, when you go for advice, guess what you have to do? You have to have a list of questions. Why? Because if you and I never learn to follow, we can and never should be leaders. We have to first learn and then lead. We have to first follow Jesus and watch others how they follow Jesus and then ask a lot of questions and have clarity about it. We need to be teachable and never have the attitude that you know everything. Guess what? When I was young, I thought I knew pretty much everything. And the older I get, the more I know, the less I know. The Bible says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Now, this doesn't mean that we fight each other. But you see, when you have a discussion in a group, and one in the group says, you know, I really think this is what this scripture says. And the other said, well, I think the scripture says this. And you add to each other, and you can disagree, but, you know, disagree in a good spirit. Because we all have our own opinions sometimes, our own interpretations. But let's not split. Let love guide us and bring us and keep us together, and then we work out the differences. And sometimes we can simply agree to disagree, and that's fine. But we live at peace with one another, because the most important thing is love. And then there's the evangelistic factor, and this is, some groups are really good at evangelizing. They equip their members to evangelize others that are lost. And I was so blessed and encouraged when the youth did this for quite a while, to go out and evangelize and winning souls. They had this as their mission and still have this spirit of winning others, inviting others to the youth group. This is so important. Don't grow tired in doing that. Keep inviting others. You don't know how important this is, because you may invite someone 10 times, 11 times, and maybe the 12th time they come, and it totally changes their life. You know, it happened to, in the Bible, there was a fellow that had followed John the Baptist. One of these disciples was Andrew. And Andrew heard Jesus speak, and he was all ear. Now, you know in the Bible that we don't have a letter or a book that Andrew wrote. We don't hear much of Andrew's ministry. We don't hear much of how many souls he won for Christ. We don't hear much of Andrew at all. But he was one of the disciples. But guess what he did? And this will forever in eternity be a star in his crown, because he led his brother Peter to Jesus. The first thing he did after he had found Jesus and talked with him, he went to his brother Peter. He said, Simon, we have found the Messiah. He's it. He's the anointed one. You come and you meet him. And it was like the little tugboat that brought the big steamer in. And boy, did God use Peter. That's how it operates, how it works. Small groups. Word of mouth is always the best method in the gospel. Why do small groups matter to the church? Actually, according to the book of Acts, the health of the church is directly tied to the health of groups in the church. If you are not in a small group, Sunday school class or some other type of prayer or care group, you're not really contributing to the health of the church. You have an opportunity to minister to others, to pray for others. And secondly, the groups in the church help close the gap, close the back door. Because if you're here for the first time or the third time or the 10th time, you're urged to join one of our small groups. We have no secrets. We're not threatening anyone. We're not a cult. We don't do any secret things that's not clearly in the Bible or in the gospel. We invite you to join. And then third, you, as a church member, we should all be participants of one or more small groups. And I know it's a lot to ask once a month to be here at church at 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. I know that's just a lot. That's just such a high demand. Because Saturday is when you have the day off, right? But we men did it. And we want to continue to grow our men's prayer breakfast. Because I know a lot of good things will come out of it. And the same with women's groups and other groups that are gathering together each week. You see, we should never hide ourselves in a crowd and remain anonymous. You know that Jesus, Jesus doesn't know anonymous. He knows you and me by name. He knows every desire, every weakness, every flaw, and every good part in us, every character quality. He knows everything about us. And you know what? Although Jesus knows every detail about you, he knows every thought. Guess what? He still loves you completely and totally. He's always devoted to loving you. And so we want to strive as a church to do the same, to love each other like Jesus loved us. He said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." Sacrificial love, genuine love, sincere love. 1 Corinthians 13 love. Everyone in a group should be inviting others to the group. And if the group gets too big, guess what? That's a good problem, right? If you have a house group and you have 8 members and 10 members and 12, and all of a sudden you notice, well, we don't have enough room. Guess what? You make 2 groups. And you grow the 2 groups. This is how many churches have done it. And this is my vision for our community here. We invite neighbors. We invite friends. And you say, well, what if this guy comes and he's all full of tattoos and he has all these piercings and all this? I mean, he's not going to feel comfortable in our midst. Let him come. Because we want to minister Jesus to him. We want to pray for him. Jesus loves him the same as he loves us. Because Jesus is in the transforming business. He transforms, we don't. But we want to be the vessel for Jesus, the hands of Jesus. We want to be the church in our communities, in our outreach. That's my desire. Now, I want to say this as a caution. Don't start doing the tattoos and the ear piercing so you look like one of them to win them. That's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. But to love people. Seek to reach out and to make friends with someone new. Someone that has been overlooked by others. Someone that has been misunderstood by many others. Someone that has been rejected by others. Jesus came for them. And so we want to share. Let's be the church and say, I will grow together with others. I will join at least one care group, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, or on Sunday morning in the Sunday school. And I will have no more excuses not to do that. I will do it, and I want to be a blessing. And guess what? When you have this intention, this determination, this passion, I want to be a blessing to others, guess what? You get blessed in return. And God blesses us so tremendously. I have always and will always be very, very thankful for all the volunteer work that is done in our church. There's so many things that are being done behind the scenes that if I would start telling you, I could go another half an hour at least to tell you all the things that are done behind the scenes. And I want to encourage you, keep on doing them, because you're doing them for the Lord, not for me or anybody else. You're doing them for the Lord, and the Lord will reward you and bless you for it. May God bless his word today. Amen.